This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Gruesome details. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, October 17. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Turkish officials have offered their theory on the disappearance of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, a Washington Post columnist and U.S. resident.
The death toll has risen to more than two dozen in the wake of Hurricane Michael. Meanwhile, some businesses in the Florida panhandle may not rebound.
Stocks have earned back some recent losses. Hear the news that investors were cheering.
And shocking news from campus, the cost of college is leveling off.
There's two trends that are really important, and one, everybody's aware of, the sticker price of a college or university continues to rise. What's happening on the other side, though, is that the grants, the inducements to get kids to come study at those schools is also increasing, so that the actual price, the net price, the real cost of college has been flat.
Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin on why the cost of college is flattening and even going down in some areas. His report in about 20 minutes. Officials in Turkey say Saudi operatives beat, drugged, killed, and then cut into pieces a columnist from the Washington Post who was a critic of Saudi royalty. They say it happened in the presence of the kingdom's top diplomat in Istanbul. The Trump administration wants Riyadh to provide answers. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, on a visit to the kingdom yesterday, said Saudi leaders strongly denied involvement.
They made no exceptions to who they would hold accountable. They were very clear. They understand the importance of this issue. They're determined to get to the bottom of it, and that they will conduct the report, and we'll all get a chance to see it.
The disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi, a former royal insider and a U.S. resident, has strained ties between Washington and Riyadh and generated international outrage. He was last seen entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul 2 weeks ago. Turkish officials say they have an audio recording to support their conclusion that Mr. Khashoggi was killed at the hand of Saudi operatives. A heated debate between Texas Senate candidates Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. Mr. O'Rourke, a Democrat who's currently a member of the House, took a page from the playbook of President Trump last night, resurrecting the nickname of Lion Ted.
Senator Cruz is not going to be honest with you. He's going to make up positions and votes that I've never held or have ever taken. He's dishonest. That's why the president called him Lion Ted.
Mr. O'Rourke and Mr. Cruz, the incumbent Republican and former presidential candidate, battled on issues like immigration, the possible impeachment of the president, and abortion. Here's Senator Cruz.
There is an enormous difference between me and Congressman O'Rourke. On the question of life, Congressman O'Rourke is at the extreme pro-abortion side.
The debate took place in a TV studio in San Antonio. Last night's debate was the second between the two Senate contenders and the last scheduled before the November 6th election. Meanwhile, early voting starts in Texas in 6 days, and recent polls show Mr. O'Rourke slipping further behind. Meanwhile, if Mr. O'Rourke could run a perfect race against Senator Cruz, he would still probably lose based solely on the fact that far more Republicans are likely to vote in Texas next month than Democrats. Although twice as many Texans voted in the Democratic primary this year compared to 2014, there were still more votes cast in the Republican primary. Patricia Murphy, columnist at Roll Call, says even as the state's demographics are changing, the math for Texas Democrats still does not look good. Patricia, you say this is similar to the race involving John Ossoff.
To review, John Ossoff was a Democratic candidate in a special election in Georgia, in a suburban district that had gone Republican for the last many decades. But Democrats managed to have a candidate who was young and attractive. They say he looked like Kennedy and talked like Obama. He raised a boatload of money, and people really thought that that race might be in play. In retrospect, John Ossoff didn't really come that close to his opponent. He got 4 points, but it was not the race that Democrats thought that they might have in that district. And there was just this galloping enthusiasm for this candidate that is starting to remind me a lot of Beto O'Rourke. Very similar candidates. Very similar dynamics in those races. And so as Democrats are running toward O'Rourke and so absolutely unbridled in their enthusiasm about this guy, I wanted to just tap the brakes and say, you know, we saw this movie very recently and it might have the same kind of ending.
It's interesting. These comparisons wind up being distracting for these candidates? Like, maybe the simple voter is more likely to say, oh, yeah, I heard he looks like so-and-so or sounds like so-and-so. I have no idea what he stands for. I'm just wondering, does that hurt?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it helps in the long run for these candidates. And somebody like Beto O'Rourke he's a really strong candidate in his own right. He's a congressman from the El Paso area. His family's been there for many generations. He went to Columbia. He was on the El Paso City Council. Very qualified, very dynamic. But when you have the dynamic that has emerged there is that national reporters have, as we tend to do, sort of jet into the state or the district, meet the guy, write a very glowing profile. A new situation for Democrats is their incredible strength with online fundraising. These national profiles tend to feed into sort of a feedback loop with liberal activists around the country who see a profile of O'Rourke, see him compared to a Kennedy. He actually does look a lot like Robert Kennedy. He can't help that. But it makes him a little bit of a shorthand candidate. You know, he's good-looking and dynamic, but what else is there? There's a lot more to him, but I think that that getting this kind of enthusiasm and intention and expectations really starts to weigh a candidate down when you get to this point in the campaign.
We're speaking with Patricia Murphy, columnist at Roll Call, about her piece entitled, Is Beto O'Rourke the Next John Ossoff? What was the point you made, too, about waking the giant when it comes to fundraising?
Sure. So there, with John Ossoff, I talked to a lot of his staff members after the race. So they raised $30 million for a special election in a district that typically gets about $1 million tops for any candidate. And again, it's a Republican district. There's just no question that there are just more Republicans than Democrats there, by raising these enormous sums of money that really drew attention to the race from national Republicans. So in a race where maybe Ossoff could have come in and quietly had a race that sort of took Republicans by surprise, maybe they wouldn't have spent so much money, maybe they wouldn't have just funneled field offices into that district. Republicans were not remotely taken by surprised by John Ossoff. They were ready for him. Yeah. They were spending money against him. They were attacking him. Just up the road on the very same day, there was a candidate in South Carolina who had 1/60th of the resources and actually did better than John Ossoff did in his special election.
Thanks, Patricia. Patricia Murphy, columnist at Roll Call. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Bounce back day for stocks. Good news on the job front, coupled with solid earnings reports, sent the Dow Jones Industrial Average higher by more than 500 points, a 2.2% gain. The S&P 500 added 2.1%, while the NASDAQ climbed 2.9%. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The big technology stocks that have been bruised when the market tumbled last week fared even better. Netflix reported nearly 7 million new users. Its stock rose 12% in after-hours trading. In addition, the Labor Department yesterday said the number of available jobs in the U.S. outnumbered the number of jobless Americans actively looking for work by 902,000, the highest on record. And Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley said their third-quarter profits surged by double-digit percentages. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. By the way, a unit of Oppenheimer funds called for cutting European stocks and adding U.S. ones, saying the world's growth is slowing, but the U.S. remains strong. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. If you have a balance on your credit cards and a higher interest rate than you would like, why not turn those balances into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate and start saving money. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 6.14% APR with AutoPay. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. Plus, they're a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. The process is very smooth, and the service they provide is excellent. Plus, our listeners can save even more right now with an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/deal. That's Lightstream, LIGHTSTREAM. Lightstream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, the rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Again, visit lightstream.com/deal for more information. That's lightstream.com/deal. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Jordan, a pro-government Turkish newspaper today published a gruesome recounting of the alleged murder of Saudi writer Jamal Khashoggi at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, just as the U.S.'s top diplomat arrived in the country for talks over the Washington Post columnist's disappearance. The report adds to the ever-increasing pressure on Saudi Arabia to explain what happened to Khashoggi, who vanished on October 2nd. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told journalists before leaving Riyadh that Saudi leaders, including King Salman and his son, made no exceptions on who they would hold accountable.
They told me they were going to conduct a thorough, complete, transparent investigation. They made a commitment to hold anyone connected to any wrongdoing that may be found accountable for that, whether they are a senior officer or official. They promised accountability.
Pompeo is now in Turkey, where he met with President Erdogan. President Trump has taken yet another swing at the Federal Reserve for raising interest rates. In a Fox interview, he blamed the market's big sell-off last week on Fed Chairman Jerome Powell.
My biggest threat is the Fed, because the Fed is raising rates too fast, and it's independent, so I don't speak to him, but I'm not happy with what he's doing.
Yesterday, the Dow Industrials rallied 548 points on strong bank earnings and a rebounding tech sector. Canada today became the largest country with a legal national marijuana marketplace as sales began in Newfoundland hours before a handful of retail outlets open in the country's easternmost province. Canadian officials announced that they will pardon all those with convictions for possessing up to 30 grams of marijuana, the now legal threshold. Cody Bellinger singled home the winning run in the 13th inning, lifting the Dodgers over the Brewers 2-1 last night in the NLCS. Joe Buck had the call on Fox.
3-2. Ground ball, base hit. Machado comes to the plate. Throw by Yelich. Dodgers win it. Series tied. 2-2.
And in the ALCS, Jackie Bradley Jr. rallied the Red Sox to an 8-2 win over the Astros in Houston. Boston now leads that series 2-1.
Very good. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. After increasing for decades, the real cost of attending both public and private college is flat, and in some cases even declined this year, as colleges compete for fewer students by giving away more scholarships. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. Doug, explain.
So there's two trends that are really important, and one, everybody's aware of the sticker price of a college or university continues to rise. What's happening on the other side, though, is that the grants, the inducements to get kids to come study at those schools is also increasing, so that the actual price, the net price, the real cost of college has been flat and is actually dipped a tiny bit at some of the publics. So that's a pretty remarkable inflection point, considering that the nation has been so used to seeing college costs go up and up and up.
Right. Can this type of trend continue?
Yes, because there's a lot of pressure on the universities right now. The biggest one is just a demographic decline. The baby boomers' kids are through schools. Generation X is much smaller. Their kids are beginning to enter college. The recession, people had fewer kids during the Great Recession, so there's just fewer kids graduating high school. So the supply of the demand for universities is going down. There's essentially too many spots. So as a result, the schools are competing for the students that are out there and giving them some financial inducements to come to school. I'll add, however, this is the most elite schools do not play by the same rules as everybody else.
Yeah.
Pricing power for Harvard and Yale and the schools that have brand names is not diminishing, but for schools that are a little bit less prestigious, where demand is not as high, that's where we're beginning to see this increase in scholarship offerings, which is bringing down the real cost of college.
So give us some of the average numbers.
So what we're seeing is that for privates right now, the real cost, so the sticker price of a private school average across the country in 2018-19 is $48,510, but people are paying the real price $27,290, and that has been flat for a few years. Last year, $27,160, right? And if you go back to 08-09, it was $24,000, so there's been a big ramp-up, but that ramp-up has now stopped. And in publics, it's about $14,000 for the real price of college, up from about $11,000 in 08-09, but it is actually dropped $30 between last year and this year. So the numbers, are, you know, this is not a huge savings, and there was a significant ramp up, which is still built into those costs over a decade ago. But at least it's not continuing to go up in the way it was.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin about his story about the real cost of college flattening, or in some cases even ticking downward a little bit as schools give more aid. You said, too, that the diminishing pricing power is causing tremendous stress among many lower quality schools as their enrollments decline. What's happening there?
So for schools that are dependent on tuition, which essentially means they don't have significant endowments, and then they don't have a really strong brand, they're having a hard time competing against other schools to attract more students, which means that their class sizes are getting smaller, which means that their revenue is shrinking, which means that they're beginning to cut classes and professors, which means that they're less competitive, and that generates fewer classes. So this is sort of the death spiral for a lot of schools that's going on around the country. So the sense that more schools are going to close and merge is very, very much in play right now.
Thanks, Doug. Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
No one compliments you when their paycheck is correct, but make one mistake and you risk alienating your entire workforce. With Kronos, we make sure your payroll is done right the first time, from punch to paycheck. Embedded checklists, simplified workflows, a single source of truth. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/payroll. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, October 17. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Saudi officials deny involvement in the disappearance of a journalist as Turkey points a finger. Stocks surged on earnings and jobs news. White House threatens to withhold funding to Honduras if a so-called caravan of migrants reaches the U.S.-Mexico border. Canada today becomes the highest profile country to legalize marijuana, plus tax it and regulate it. And the awkward nicknames attempted for the new North American trade agreement. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Time for Business Update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples helps keep your business moving with a huge selection of ink and toner, always in stock and always priced low. And during Staples' printing event this month, the prices are even lower. Staples. All around most of Bay County in the Florida Panhandle, at least the Panama City area, most businesses seem a tangled mess of broken glass, twisted aluminum, and stark warnings against those thinking to take advantage of the situation. Wayne Price, business editor at Florida Today, part of the USA Today network, paid a visit to the hard-hit area after Hurricane Michael. Wayne, what did you see?
Just like you expect from a storm of this magnitude, but there's no electricity, there's no traffic lights, there's still down power lines, and and rubble all over the streets. And there might be one or two businesses that are open, and they're only open, you know, during daylight hours, the ones that are open, because there's a curfew that I think it goes like dawn to dusk. So, you know, you can't be open at night anyway. So
tell me about the guy you spoke to who owns Royal Used Tires there in Panama City. What's he going through?
Yeah, he's one of those hard scrapple people. I mean, he just said, you know, well, what else are you going to do? He knows that there's such a lot of debris on the roadway that people are going to get flat tires. So, you know, he's going out and, you know, making sure he's available to do what he can, you know, to help his people. They get flat tires and they don't. The problem with that is he doesn't have electricity. He has a generator, so as far as that will get you. And now, it was interesting, right across the street from him, there was a guy that I met selling generators out of the back of a truck, I think for about $450. And he bought like 75 of them 3 weeks ago. And he's from, where did he say he was from? I think he was from Georgia. And then drove up here, and he's doing very well.
Wow.
He, right when I was there, he just sold 15. You know, and that's a big chunk of money, $450, you know, on the fly to pick up a generator. So there's that kind of stuff going on.
How much of a concern is looting?
You know, I was getting pretty nervous walking up to some of these businesses and knocking on doors. I made sure I was very loud, saying hello, you know, make sure people heard me. And I think a few days ago there was a report of somebody shooting a looter, and there's a lot of signs up. I think, as I noted in the story, you know, you loot, we shoot. So.
Wow.
You know, people are being very good about safeguarding their inventory and their property. And that's the problem, is that, you know, a lot of these places, the building's exposed and the inventory's still inside.
Yeah,
and I'm sure
yeah.
That's very tempting for some people.
We're speaking with Wayne Price, business editor at Florida Today, part of the USA Today network. He's written about how some Florida panhandle businesses may never recover from Hurricane Michael. You said, too, the service industry could struggle to recover, hotels, entities like that.
That's a big concern for the workers, because a lot of times when, like, a hotel or a restaurant, when they're shut down for a prolonged period of time, is it the workers have no place to go, and, you know, they're not making any money. And what are they going to do? They're going to pick up and go somewhere else. They're going to move. So you're going to lose that labor pool. And it's hard to get people to move into an area for those kind of jobs. Now, I spoke with somebody yesterday who said, you know, the big hotel part is in Panama City Beach, which is nearby Panama City. And he told me that Panama City Beach, ironically, you know, it didn't really take a big hit. And they had electricity yesterday, and the structures were relatively intact. So, you know, that's good. But for the other people, you know, the people that might work at the McDonald's or the steakhouses and the hotels, you know, they're going to be without jobs for a long time.
Yeah.
So
the small business software company you talked to, Womply, had that report
right.
Suggesting that area may recover faster than expected. What did they see?
Well, they looked at sales receipts from past hurricanes. And, you know, obviously, you know, the week before and during, you know, they see that drop in sales, and they say it picks up within a week to 2 weeks. Now, I think this storm is much more devastating than what they collected data on before. I mean, I hope they can turn around and things can pick up quickly. It's right, just looking at stuff. It's hard to imagine, you know, when you can't even get electricity going, you don't have internet service, you know, and just the structural damage, you know, to put a roof on, to get more, I mean, just windows, everything. It's hard to imagine they can recover within a month, as that data suggests.
Thanks, Wayne. Wayne Price, business editor at Florida Today, part of the USA Today network. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username @GordonDeal. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs may have suffered their first loss of the season this past Sunday, but there's still reason to rejoice in KC. Like a gift from the barbecue heavens, the Chiefs have inspired Joe's Kansas City Barbecue to open its doors on a Sunday for the Chiefs' Sunday night football matchup with the Bengals. The original gas station restaurant, which is always closed on Sundays, will be open from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on a Sunday. This is not a drill. And while this might not seem like a huge deal, it really is. According to USA Today, Joe's is arguably the best barbecue in all of Kansas City, which is saying something, and the restaurant is never open on a Sunday, citing the need to give their employees time to off to rest, relax, and be with their families. Joe's posted a message to Twitter announcing the surprise opening, but also warning barbecue lovers that they shouldn't get used to it because they may not be open on a Sunday again for another 22 years. They've been open, I guess, for 22 years.
Oh, gotcha.
So they won't be open on a Sunday again for 22 years.
May I suggest something?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps on Sunday.
Yes.
February 3rd.
Right.
In Atlanta.
Oh.
The Chiefs may be playing for a fairly large size trophy.
So that...
Would that not be reason for Joe's to open on a Sunday?
You would think so.
Just throwing it out there.
But, I mean, it seemed like it took an awful lot to get them to open up on this Sunday. So,
well, they haven't been in a Super Bowl probably, right?
Yeah, since the 70s, I think, right?
Yeah. So Joe's wasn't open back then.
It's been a while.
Well,
yeah, no, you're right. They definitely should open if they're making it to the Super Bowl.
Of course, that defense needs to be fixed, as I've said this week. It's fairly porous.
Yes, and by the way, we need to put this on our list of places we're going to take field trips to. We've talked about taking field trips to various eateries.
Yeah.
This is one we definitely need to.
Or convince Joe's to deliver live, like within 2 hours of ordering or something like that.
That would be good. And officials, Gordon, in the Michigan city of Portland are pleading for Facebook users for one thing. Stop sending them angry messages about other cities named Portland. City manager Tut Gorman posted on the Michigan City's official Facebook page that the account and that of the city's police department are not affiliated with the city of Portland, Oregon. This after the city was inundated with complaints last week involving civil unrest shutting down the streets in Portland, Oregon. Unfortunately, the chief of police says the Facebook post hasn't yet stopped the influx of messages. He says the Michigan city of about 4,000 residents is very different from its Oregon counterpart, which boasts a population of nearly 650,000.
Yeah, those two cities aren't even close.
No, no. And I'm guessing Portland, Maine probably also getting some of this flack as well.
Well, like... At least if you're in Portland, Michigan, make the mistake of Portland, Maine, which is like 67,000, roughly.
Like yeah.
You know, in that neighborhood. Portland, Oregon's not even close to size.
Mistaken online identity, hard to believe, right, Gordon? I mean, we get this, but not on the same level. We don't get the hate messages, but we get mistaken often online. There's a British TV show that with the name This Morning. So we get a lot of their tweets sort of tweeted at us. Not bad stuff normally, but you know, we get the same sort of mistaken online identity.
By the way, the other piece of news from this is that there is a guy named Tut.
Yeah, yes. Tut Gorman.
Gorman.
I love that name.
T-U-T-T.
Sounds like he should be a football coach
or
something.
We'll have to see if that's a nickname of some kind. Never heard of Tut. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for spending time with us. If Meghan Markle has her baby at a luxury suite in a London hospital, it will probably cost less than the typical American birth. Ms. Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, is expecting her first child next spring. MarketWatch says if she books the same posh private maternity wing that the Duchess of Cambridge, Kate Middleton, did, it will reportedly cost about $7,700. The suite comes with its own bathroom, refrigerator, and, as it's described, a comprehensive wine list. The price tag for all those perks is actually cheaper than the average American birth, which was nearly $11,000, according to figures compiled by The Economist. That figure does not include care before and after the birth. The Economist says the U.S. is the most expensive country in the world to give birth. Insurance covers much of the price, and the average out-of-pocket cost is about $3,000. Not only is having a baby in the U.K. cheaper in the U.S., it's also cheaper to raise one there. A U.K. couple will spend, on average, about $198,000 from birth to age 18. In the U.S., it costs about $45,000 more. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Jordan Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met Turkish President Erdogan in Ankara today following talks with Saudi Arabia's king and crown prince about the disappearance of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. In a Fox interview, President Trump, who sent Pompeo to find out what happened, gave Saudi Arabia the benefit of the doubt in Khashoggi's disappearance.
It depends whether or not the king or the crown prince knew about it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Number one, what happened, but whether or not they knew about it. If they knew about it, that would be bad. Mm-hmm. If they didn't know about it, bad things can happen.
Turkish officials believe Khashoggi was murdered and his body removed. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is calling for sanctions against Saudi Arabia and says he will not return to the kingdom as long as Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman remains in power. Graham told Fox News it's time to sanction the hell out of Saudi Arabia.
This guy is a wrecking ball. He had this guy murdered in a consulate in Turkey, and to expect me to ignore it, I feel used and abused. I was on the floor every time defending Saudi Arabia because there's a good ally.
Graham added that Prince Mohammed can never be a world leader on the world stage and has got to go. Stocks rocketed to their biggest gain in 6 months yesterday following strong earnings from major financial and healthcare companies, as well as encouraging reports on the economy. The Dow Industrials jumped 548 points. Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and United Health led a parade of companies that reported quarterly profits that surpassed analysts' expectations. After a tenure of just 4 days, former Congresswoman Mary Bono has resigned as interim president and CEO of USA Gymnastics. Bono's selection had been immediately criticized by several high-profile gymnasts, including Olympic gold medal winner Simone Biles and Allie Raisman. Raisman questioned Bono's association with the law firm that advised USA Gymnastics during the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal. And Biles took issue with Bono recently posting a photo of herself blacking out a Nike logo on a golf shoe. Nike is a USA Gymnastics sponsor. Well, if you ever wanted to live in the Titanic's booking office, now's your chance. A $13.8 million apartment in Oceanic House, the London building that once served as the Titanic's booking office, is on the market. Built in 1907, the building was the former headquarters of the White Star Line, the operator of the Titanic, which fatefully and famously sank in 1912.
How about that? Very good. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. The U.S., Canada, and Mexico were able to reach a deal revising the North American Free Trade Agreement. Now, if they could just agree on what to call it. As the Wall Street Journal says, Americans call it USMCA for the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement. But unlike NAFTA, USMCA has no easy nickname. How, like, what do you say in Spanish or French? Suggestions have ranged from T-MEC to MUSCA to CAMUS. The Canadian government and French language media in the country use the inelegant AEUMC when referring to the pact written in French. Mexico's president asked his Twitter followers what to call it in Spanish. In a recent newscast on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, one of the anchors hosting a panel acknowledged she didn't know how to pronounce USMCA. One of the pundits encouraged her to use USMACA. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.